Hey Mallory, how are you?
Good, how are you doing, Yakum? I set all myself these reminders, like from Slack messages, to go off every day, and they always all are lumped together at 9 a.m. on the next day, and I always think like there's like a fire because I've got like four messages like all at the same time, and then it's just stuff that I put off since yesterday. Good morning, everyone else.
Good morning. Hello.
Got it.
All right. So, how about we take a look at the status updates? And a shocker, let's discuss the next release candidate. And I don't know if Mallory, do you have anything that came up that we should discuss for Trove or?
Nothing new. They are working through the stuff that we originally applied to Trove test last week, just some of the stuff that they can test, and are documenting that for me, which is nice. The only new ticket that I wanted to mention is a ticket I assigned to you, Jakob, about local review getting kind of those requests are getting stuck when they're sent to Alma or Rapido because I don't think they have the concept of requires review locally available. So that's the only thing new.
Okay, yeah, let's discuss. I saw this ticket, but I think I need more information from you. So let's chat about this. Okay, guys, let's take a look at the ongoing stuff. So maybe let's start with you, Jason. I
Oh
think
man.
we, yeah, go for it.
It's
So I
working.
see,
I think
yeah.
it's working.
Okay, but so okay, let's take a step one by one. So
Yeah, I will tell you.
2020, that's the do not override supply of messages and notification. I think Mallory has reviewed this, right, Mallory? And it looked good.
I think this is fine. I just didn't know if you wanted to look at it for any reason, but it's not switching it back to the old supplier, so I think we're in good shape there.
Okay, then let's just close it. I will test it along some other stuff, but I don't think I need to repeat that. So if you did this, then that's fine. And then let's take a look at 2021 send delivery cost with the long message.
Yeah,
This is
this
good enough
looks
for
good too.
now,
But this needs more stuff. I just don't think we should do it until after the release because I think we shouldn't hold up the release for extra more things because we keep doing that and it's taking forever. But
Okay, so
it's added to the audit trail.
okay,
But
so let's just
it's no
discuss
way.
what it has, yeah, and what's
I'm
the what.
okay. So the it does what the ticket says, and it adds the final cost as the supplier sees it to the delivery costs so that it's always in a consistent place to make reporting easier. And that would be great, except for the fact that in things like Alma or theoretically, if they just manually set that, they could be sending and then charging an amount that is not what the requester expects. And so I also have it check to see that they're the same when it arrives at the requester. And currently it flags it in the audit trail if the amounts differ. However, there's no way to, well, it's not easy to surface this cleanly in the UI because we don't have a specific property on the requests to flag that. And we probably don't want to join the audit trail onto every request in the request list, because that would be just making the request list slower and more cumbersome. And then we have to like search the audit trail on all of them for some string in there. And that's just
Yeah.
gross. So we can add some more properties to the patron request yet again, or like at least a boolean, so we can flag this particular situation. Or what I think would maybe be more useful would be a feature where you can have audit requests that require review or something like that, that it will flag you that some of the audit, something in the audit trail needs your attention. And we can use that same needs attention thing to have the request stick out. And then you can go to the audit trail and like mark those ones as acknowledged or read or something. But
Sure.
I didn't want to do that right now.
Yeah.
So
No, I agree. I agree. Let's
I think that's maybe the way to approach it though.
sure. Let's leave it as an extension, but let's actually discuss two cases that we need to deal with right now, because I think that really limits what
Well,
the
there's
sort of the
another thing.
challenge,
There's one more thing
right?
I want to say. I want to say one more thing though. That one thing that you briefly mentioned and that I didn't do yet, but I could do, I guess, before the release, is right now it does not set the cost value on the supplier to the delivery cost. Because I wanted to talk about that first, because I was like, well, that would make it consistent because that's what they're going to get charged. But then it's also going to erase their record of what they had previously thought they were going to get charged. But they also have that in their conditions. So I guess that's.
But okay, let's discuss what that actually means, because we have two cases. We have reshare case and we have Alma case. And for the reshare case, you cannot just randomly set the delivery cost, right? This is something that the system will set automatically, kind of to sign the transaction, as we discussed, just to make sure that for the reporting, they look at one field. So I'm not worried about the situation where somebody sends ISO 18626 manually and outside of what our user interface allows them to do. That's secondary. But the main thing is that when you use Reshare, you go through the cost negotiation. There's no other way, and the system additionally automatically sends that delivery cost, but it's always set to the final to what's been negotiated, right? There is no other way. Correct? Yeah. And for Alma, the situation is different, because for Alma, there is no cost negotiation. So Alma does not allow you to negotiate anything. They just send that cost as part of the loan message in the delivery cost field. So there's just no way for Alma to even, like, for Alma to have that discrepancy, because there's no negotiation in the first place. It's never going to send the offered cost. So what's going to happen in this case, Jason? Because we added that code in the broker to transfer the delivery cost to the offered cost field. So with that switch enabled in the broker, and it is enabled for the test environment, when they send that delivery cost, it's just gonna get copied into
Right.
the offered
So
cost,
if
right?
we make Reshare do it as well, then we can just take that crap out of the broker so we don't have this extra code lying around. I like it. Yeah,
No,
it should be done in ModRes.
but even if we don't do anything, then what's gonna happen in ModRes right now? It's not gonna flag it, because those two values are gonna be the same, right?
Yeah, it won't flag it, and that will be the value.
Yeah, I think that's fine. So let's
Yeah, I
just
thought
leave
this was
it.
fine for the release for now, but I
Yeah,
think
exactly.
we probably should make it take the delivery cost and replace the cost, because we should have less code in the broker for doing this kind of nonsense.
Yeah, I agree, but yes, for completeness, we should probably take a look there. But in reality, this is never going to arise as a problem for Trove,
Yeah, for now
because
it's
they
fine.
just yeah. So, but if somebody sends an ISO 18626 message, I don't know, that's never going to happen. But if that happens somehow, then you ju and there is this discrepancy, then you would just flag it in the audit trail.
Yeah, it
That's
does
what you
that, yeah.
do. I
Right,
think
but
that's fine.
it won't tell anybody about it.
No, no,
So
no. It will just be there.
it's a flag in the basement.
I think that's fine. I think that's fine. So,
Okay, well, that's what this does.
So just final question. So if the way it is now, without any further changes, if we disable that functionality in the broker that copies the, the delivery cost to the offered cost, what is gonna happen?
There will be no cost. It will stick with the tier cost because it's not going to copy
It's
that
not
in
going to
there.
update. Gotcha.
It's not going to update
Gotcha. So,
anything, but
yeah.
because the delivery cost is what reporting is using, that's what they will be charged.
Got it. So that means, so I don't think we should be making further changes for this, Jason. Let's just enable that cost transfer on prod as well, since it's enabled already. And I think, Ian, you know this, right? I left a note on your ticket about updating prod to make sure that the configuration is aligned, because there is some other configuration changes for the broker, including that GitHub private repo, et cetera. So we just need to make sure that the config is matching.
Right.
Cool.
So,
All right.
does it for Alma when they send that when they send the delivery cost, aren't we updating the agreed cost in the reshare UI to reflect that or
We do, but
not?
we do it in this convoluted way where the broker takes that cost, puts it in the offered cost, and that makes reshare put it
Update
in
it. Okay.
and update it, right? So those two things need to be kind of working together to make this behave as expected. So we just need that broker setting to be enabled, and what Jason was saying is that we could avoid it if we just look at the delivery cost, right? In Mother S.
And we
But
should make a ticket for that because we could do that.
we should make a ticket for
I didn't
that,
want to
but
delay
I
till release to do that.
yeah, exactly. Let's not delay the release. And also, when we make the ticket for that, let's maybe just make that ticket a bit more richer, how to flag it when they differ, like deal with those corner cases that in our case I don't think ever gonna arise, because they just don't have the facility to do this, right? I mean, because
Well, it needs to be flagged. So, well, if the person using Alma typos it and they put like literally anything other than what was expected, there's no way like that's what will get charged. There's no fail safe in the system that will notice that.
Well, but there's no fail-safe either, Jason, because there is like no, I mean, what they put in is what is getting charged. They don't have any negotiation method with Alma, because they just specify some value when they ship.
All right,
And
so there's no, there's not going to be any kind of expected anything that's going to be,
no, well, unless they change that in the future and that they add some
right,
facilities
because they
for that,
can't
I
send a
don't.
condition.
Yeah, well, they cannot set the condition, but they cannot even set that offered cost field in any way. I mean, that f field is just not accessible from the Alma UI, so I don't think we need to worry about this. So it's like what they,
Yeah,
yeah,
got
but
it.
that's true. I mean, with Reshare, it's a bit nicer, because if somebody actually makes the mistake, then hopefully the other side's gonna catch it, right? In this case, no. I mean, they ship it, they specify the cost, and that's it.
And Richard doesn't even let you make that mistake. Like you don't get that. You only get it by conditions. So
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
now I'm catching up to you.
Okey-doke.
Okay, got it.
So I think we are fine with this. So we just need to review this. Mallory, I'll also take a look, but if you're gonna be reviewing this, then I think you need to take a look at the event log, because like what we really wanna see is that the loaned message has this delivery cost set.
Yeah, the loaned and the copy completed message both have the delivery cost. So I think we're good. I just didn't know if I should test with Alma just to make sure nothing went weird, but if you don't think that there should be any impact, then I think we can close
It
it.
always makes sense to test. So if you have access to
Yeah.
Alma, but you're gonna be testing on test and on or dev, then you should see it as well.
Okay.
You should see actually both. So like for the loaned message, and the copy completed, you should see the delivery. Like if you send it from Alma, then it will be both the delivery cost set, and then in the outgoing message to Mother S, also the offered cost, right? Because that's what the broker currently does on those two systems. We just need to enable that also on the prod system, just to make sure that this is aligned. So I think, yeah, so that we need to verify. And the other thing, Jason, 215. So let's talk about this one.
Okay, so that one is hopefully finally working. Because this has all been in such a hurry for the release, foolishly, I have been, okay, I'll just make this work. And I would put it up to Trove Dev. And then, of course, it doesn't work. And then I did that once. And then I did that again. And I want to stop wasting Mallory's time. And so yesterday, I was pretty sure I had it, but I decided, okay, I'm going to make it work with the integration test somehow with the broker. And that was a weird experience, and it ended up being kind of late, but I have a test that works, and I think actually is testing it. And I'm pretty sure works well. And then, of course, that flaky timer test won't let it pass CI. So I wasn't able to merge it. I just kicked it off for the meeting. So I'm going to walk away from my coffee making for a second and look to see if that's built or not. But yeah, we should probably also have a ticket for the flaky timer test. I was talking with Kurt about it at one point. We used it as a demo when I was, hey, actually, it did pass. So now I can merge it and then wait another 10 minutes. And then after that, I can deploy it.
Okay, so but it needs to be deployed for to be reviewed. So yeah, so when you're done deploying it, just put it in review. Cool. All right. So that looks pretty good. Anything else, Jason, that we should discuss?
So for that one, I had, because I wasn't familiar with the broker, and the ILL mock and our ILL broker test spec, I had the LLM read all of those things to try to get it to do it. And that was weird and dumb. It ended up taking longer than it would have been if I just read it. But the reason I wound up doing it last night is that it always seemed like it was almost going to work. It keeps getting so close.
Right.
So I don't know if I recommend doing that to quite that degree. That was a weird vibe coding exercise. But in the
Right.
end, I got there.
Nice.
It found one of the magic strings, but didn't find the other magic string, so it wasn't able to trigger the ILL mock properly. Anyways.
Okay. All right. Cool. Let's come back to the ZFL stuff. So I'm just gonna move over to Kurt, and Kurt, I think you've been looking at two, right? Well, let's talk about this reject. I think that's something we need
Yeah,
for the
so
release.
that one, I had originally made a push for it, but then that didn't work, so it looks like there's a bit more needs to be done. Two things that I discovered came up. One was that, so when we send the default peer to the broker in order to tell it as a continue request, that default peer gets sent on to the supplier. And then there's an issue because the supplier doesn't recognize that as a valid supplier. So I need to find a way to let the supplier know, the ModRS supplier, that okay, this is a valid supplier, or don't freak out over it.
So hold on. So you're talking about the situation where you send this console, which is addressed to the specific supplier, and
Right.
that gets then forwarded to ModRS, and that confuses ModRS, the ModRS supplier, because the message is that the message is not from the requester that it expects, or like what.
Yeah, I guess, I'm trying to think. So, yeah, so When we, when we decide to continue, then we, when we populate the supplier with the actual, with the one that's in the request as opposed to the default one, right? But I was getting an error back saying that the supplier wasn't recognized. So I need to do some more just tracing through to find out what exactly is happening.
I think that's
And
a different
yeah.
problem, Kurt. So basically, in this broker, the way the headers are set is independent. Like the broker does not really care what you send it. It sets the header based on the mode in which the peer is operating. So like mod RS peers always operate in this transparent mode.
Right.
So and then it doesn't really proxy anything, right? It accepts a message in the handler, updates like the internal status, and then there's a sender, a client component that sends them out, and the client component sends the headers completely separately, so it doesn't really care what you send it. So if you have a mod RS peer, it's always going to operate in the transparent mode where it's going to set the headers to the real headers. So what you should be getting on the other side, no matter what type of console you send, is that it's going to look like it's being sent from Melbourne to Sydney, for example, right? Like the broker symbol would not be involved in any case.
Well, I mean, so I'm so what I'm seeing anyway is, I'm looking at the request, the protocol logs, and I'm seeing, that it's coming through with, the ILL broker dev agency ID value, and then the supplying mod RS is responding that it's an unrecognized.
Well, let's take a look at that. Do you have a link?
Yeah, hang on. I'll
Let's have a
paste it in
look.
the Slack. Where's my Slack window? I'm gonna put it in the Trove Dev channel. So that is the supplier here for a request that failed. And if you go down to the protocol log, you should be able to see.
So this is the supplier, right? The supplier is signed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. So yeah, if you go to the protocol log, message number six, right? You'll see that the request that comes in, the supplying agency is Sydney, and then the requesting agency is listed as the broker dev, and then when
But
that come,
that's the message that gets sent out by Mother S.
yes, and then pass in from the broker, and then when that comes in, then it then we get then mod RS is responding with the supplying agency not found or invalid message here.
Yeah, I think that's a different problem, but let's take a look at this. So this is sent from, so Melbourne is the requester in this case, right?
Yes, and it's
Let's look up.
515.
So I think there's a bug regarding this cancellation support in the broker that
I
I
mean,
think is.
it could be an issue with the way mod RS is formatting its outgoing messages when it's trying to send the continuation thing. So I just need to
All right,
figure out what exactly is going
let's
wrong
take a
here.
look. So there is a cancel sent from, who's this? Melbourne is the supplier, the requester. Okay, so Melbourne
Melbourne's the
sends the broker.
requester, Sydney's the supplier.
Right. So this is what Melbourne does, right? Melbourne sets to the broker. So just so you know, so this message means that the whole transaction will be terminated. So if you expected it to be just skipping, like just rejecting, then this would be wrong
So
because
yeah, you're right. It should be sending, It should be sending Sydney, right, as the agency IDOA, right?
Exactly. Because otherwise, when it sees this, it will terminate the whole thing. But it doesn't matter. Let's take a look what it does to send it. So it takes this cancel, then this cancel is passed on to the supplier, and this is what is being sent. Outgoing message. So you see, it fixes up the header. What it sends already looks like it's from Sydney to Melbourne. So the broker is not involved when the message gets sent. But I think there's a bug because then it continues right away. It doesn't wait for the message from Melbourne, and I think that's the problem. It tries to select the next supplier. Actually, it doesn't try to select them. What it does, it like skips all of them. And then when it skips all of them, you are getting. So this is the requester message gets confirmed. So it says, okay, I did cancel for you. And then it messages the requester with a cancel response. This is the response from your requester. But this is the message that gets the outgoing messages would get sent. And I think that, yeah, I saw this last night when I took it for a quick spin. So this is probably going to make Motorest crazy. So it sends this cancel response with status unfilled. I think that's gonna completely fuck you up, and it seems like there is an error data. Unrecognized data value, null cancel value. I think it expects the status to be canceled.
I think it, well, I think it, actually, I was looking at that no cancel value thing. I think that's caused by, it wants to, it look is looking for in the cancel response, looking for a parameter, like a message, a parameter that's like yes or no in there.
That's right. That's right.
So I think that's what's
Yeah.
causing it to throw that error.
Yeah. So there is a bug. Yeah, and it's a logical bug in this, and I think we need to have Yanis fix this. Because yes, so a couple of different it's like a series of mistakes here, but basically this cancel message, this cancel response that you see, that is generated by the broker. And it shouldn't be. It should be something that you sent from Motorez when you cancel on the supplier side. And that's what you would expect, right? Because you went to the supplier and you canceled. And I don't think that cancellation ever gets, yeah. So this is the cancellation that you get, and that's the cancellation from the broker, and that will never have this yes or no because it doesn't set that field. It just sends a cancel response and with the status of unfilled. But this is the message you sent from the supplier.
Yeah, so that so my message is wrong, but so I need to fix that
Yeah.
because it's
So
not
your message gets sent, but at this point there is no yeah, and it's got this yes, no. So that looks good. But it never gets delivered. It doesn't get delivered because at this point you don't have any
Well, it's got the wrong
like.
agency ID to begin with, so I got to fix that. But yeah.
I don't know. I think it's fine. It's fine. You don't need to fix that. No, I don't think you need to fix that because so you're sending from Sydney, who's the supplier, and you're sending to the broker, and you don't need to address it in any way because the broker knows who the requester is. There's only one requester, so
Okay,
it
but
doesn't matter. Yeah, you could just leave it.
so why is the supplier then getting the this broker dev agency and then saying that it doesn't know about it?
Because at this point we have already terminated your transaction, and we say, like, what this message really means in a cryptic way is that your message was not accepted because you're not the supplier, and that's wrong. So you send a cancellation from the supplier, but at this point the broker has already terminated the transaction, and it will tell you, hey, you're not the supplier anymore. So you're like your supplying ID is wrong. So that's what. So I don't think you need to do anything. I think that's fine. I mean, you need to fix the initial message. So that's wrong, right? Because this cancel here that we see, This is wrong. So this needs to be set to the actual supplier. Otherwise, this is going to terminate the whole transaction. So that's
Okay.
the fixed. But the last message here, that will be fixed when he fixes this logical error, because he just doesn't wait for the cancel response to arrive from the supplier before terminating the transaction. You see, like it sees the cancel action and then it forwards that cancel to the, and then it already assumes, okay, like preemptively, I'm going to cancel the whole transaction. And that's wrong because you might actually want the, like you want to wait for that supplier to confirm with that cancel response, because maybe the supplier tells no, no, I won't cancel. So yeah, so there is two bugs, I think. One is in the broker, and the other one is here, that you just need to make sure that this first cancel action is sent with the proper
Okay, so I'll check that.
this one, yeah, with the proper ISO.
Let's see. Yeah, that should be sent with the, yeah, so I'll check that and make sure. And
Yeah.
then I also need to check and make, because there is code in there that's set to handle a continuation, like within the context of just ModRS to ModRS. But I need to make sure that the state transitions from, the reject canceled back to request sent, right? Because it's going to be moving on to the next supplier, presumably.
Yeah.
Like on the requester side.
Yeah.
So
So
I just.
what you should see, so that should work. So you won't be able to test the termination, because the termination, unfortunately, is going to look like here. Like you're gonna get this weird ass cancel message from the cancel response from the broker that has the status unfilled, and that's probably going to trigger some weird behavior in your requester. But the other case where you actually send a soft cancellation should work, because what you should see then is that it will move on to the next supplier and you will get expect to supply with the new ISIL code.
Okay.
And I think that should already work, right? Because like that's just something that is already there, like that's what pushes it to this request send state. So do you think that's not, you need to do
I
something?
guess I need to make sure that it can translate, it can trans that there's a transition from the requesting cancel to expect to supply, right?
But I
Because
think Jason did some code that might be related, didn't you, Jason? Because you actually you were working on the similar case where you get the unfilled from the supplier with conditions pending. And how did you fix that? Did you fix it? Like, how did you make how did you make it continue?
well, in that case, the distinction was if it was coming in as a notification, it was supposed to continue. And if it was coming in as a status change, that it was terminal.
Okay, that makes sense. But then when you get the next expect to supply, that would makes it go to the another request send state, right?
No. It was the unfilled as a notification that makes it go to a request sent state.
Okay, then I
Yeah,
guess you need
I
to.
did that because it's the unfilled status change that, like, it's unfilled that makes it go to, I can't remember what, that there is actually like an unfilled state and it goes there and it would normally just go to end of rota. But when it goes there in the normal thing, it does, it's got this, it triggers the rota. Yeah, basically it triggers it to go to the next one in the rota. I forget the details, but it all happened at unfilled. And so waiting until the expect to supply was too late for the like non-trove reshare. So I wanted to handle it in the same place.
Okay, I see. I see. I thought that's probably okay. I just thought that the way you were gonna fix this, that you're gonna ignore the unfilled when it's sent as a notification. So it does nothing basically, it just shows up in the message pane, and then the expect to supply puts us in the request sent to the next supplier state.
No, but it's the unfilled notification that triggers it.
Okay, so you will need to do something there, Kurt, I think.
Yeah, probably. No, I think
Because.
I'm gonna go ahead and just build out because we have the broker and the integration test. I'm just gonna go ahead and build out an integration test for it and make sure it works. See if I can get the back and forth going there. I mean, I still have to wait for the fix for the broker, but I can at least go ahead and get that in there and then go ahead and implement the transition stuff. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think that's probably the way. Yeah, because but you know the like you know what messages you're gonna get, right? You're gonna like after that cancellation, you will get like you won't get the cancel response ever, basically. You'll get expect to supply from the next supplier. That's what you're gonna get.
Okay.
Yeah. So like the only difference from Jason's case where the supplier rejects is that in that case there is this unfilled send as a notification because they want to see the unfilled reasons. In your case, when you reject, it's just gonna go and it's just gonna send you expect to supply with the next supplier. There's not gonna be any message in between.
Okay, that'll work.
Yeah. Because it wants, and I wonder if that's. Maybe that's not the best one. Because it. Yeah, well. Give it a shot. Let's
Yeah, I'll get
see
into it.
how this works, right? And try to do it today and just drop me a note by the end of the day because maybe there's some adjustments that Yannis needs to do.
Okay.
So I'll tell him tomorrow morning because I'm just a little bit concerned about that situation where now you're gonna cancel with a selected supplier and then that on the supplier side that puts you in this conditions like you need to reply to the cancellation, right? You need to say okay. And basically, I think we would already move to the next supplier at that point. Like it's the same logical mistake that we saw in this case. So I think he's gonna fix it because we already talked about this. But I think that's what you're gonna see. So you're gonna see like it cancels with the you send it the cancel to the supplier. And it already moves to the next one and sends you expect to supply for the next one. It doesn't even wait for the old supplier to acknowledge this. So then when you try to acknowledge from the selected supplier, it will give you this error saying that, oh, no, cannot do. You're not the supplier for this transaction. So I'm not going to accept any messages from you. So that's what we will need to fix. Like we just need to kind of loop in this acknowledgement because I think otherwise this is going to look very annoying for the suppliers.
Gotcha.
Plus there might be actually a situation where they don't want to cancel anymore, right? Maybe they've already shipped or something, and then they should prevent you from moving to the next one. So yeah, so we'll fix that. But try this. You should see this working just with the caveat that you know.
So
But
working on the requester side, but so yeah, all right.
yes, exactly. But not on the supplier will kind of remain in the spending state, and you won't be able to get out of that state. Okay, all right. So yeah, so let so that looks good. So oh shit, sorry guys. So let's wrap this up. And I think when this is wrapped up, we will be able to get this out. But we need to do a little bit of testing. So Mallory, I guess we wait until tomorrow, right? And then make the release on Thursday, update test on Thursday. I guess we need a day, right, to test on dev. Now, how
Yeah,
do
I
you
mean,
want to do it?
if everything is ready, it sounds like I'll be able to test Jason's code for the I think 215, and if depending on when Kurt and Giannis are able to complete the work for 217, then yeah, I don't think there's a lot to test to complete the release. So if we're ready, great. And we can update Trove test on Thursday.
Well, so let's do it like this, because you should be able to test whatever Jason has completed, and hopefully Curry will have something maybe before the end of the day, and then you can take it for a spin. And I'll have Giannis fix the remaining issue tomorrow morning. So I think it would be good if we made that release tomorrow, by the end of midday, so Ian could just make it tomorrow and get it out to test. Unless something shows up, right? If we have more problems, let's not do it. But if we have it under control, let's maybe make it tomorrow, midday or by the end of the day. Is that okay?
Ian, what time would you are you free tomorrow and or could you be to kick this off? And what time would you want it by ideally? Ian, you're muted if you're trying to talk to us.
I'm sorry. I stepped out for a second. What do you need?
Oh, we were just discussing if we were ready to cut a release tomorrow, what time would you need it by to apply it to Trove test?
Mid-afternoon. So, I don't know, 3 would be a good time to have it all wrapped up, and then I could, apply it. It takes a few hours to apply, but I can set it rolling overnight.
Okay. Does that work, Jakob, if we aim for that? Aim for 2 o'clock Eastern time.
I think that's great. I think that's good. So let's try to do it. Yeah, so test how much you can today, and then we'll see what the situation is, because maybe you find some additional issues, right? So, and then we say nope. We actually have some more problems to fix. But if everything goes fine, then Kurt should have the codes working. And we might have still that issue that I just mentioned, that we have the supplier kind of stuck, but that will not need code changes in MotherOS. That will be just a fix in the broker, which hopefully will be ready tomorrow morning, so then we can test that specific case when you're up. And then we can go ahead, right? So Ian can release it. I think, yeah, 2 p.m. deadline is good.
Okay. I have one question about that, and I'm sorry if you already got into the weeds on this, but when I was testing Kurt's work on 217, the behavior was different whether the supplier had a cancellation autoresponder on or not. I should test it both ways, right? Like that still makes sense.
I think so. I think it makes sense
Okay.
to test with both cases.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Jakob, I had one thing I wanted to ask you about, which was 219, where we're getting the error about the JSON parsing. So what was going on here is that the only what it's trying to do is that it's saying, okay, I don't have an OCLC number, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to parse the bib as JSON and then pull it out of there, and it only works if the stored bib record is JSON, and in our case with Trove it's actually in XML, but I don't think the OCLC number really matters for Trove anyway, right? Can I just have it just quietly just move on if it's not a JSON bib? Like,
It's
okay,
also already the case for Palti. I mean, like that's been like that hasn't worked for anyone since Reservoir.
yeah.
So we're seeing the same JSON parsing exception in Palti as well.
Nobody
Yeah,
looks
but
at the bubble.
doesn't it handle it? I thought it catches that exception.
I mean, it catches it. Yeah, just throws a warning. That's all. I mean, the only thing it doesn't do
Yeah.
is, I mean, it's just basically the warning says like, okay, well, I tried to parse this JSON and it didn't work. But we could just change it to like a debug saying that it's not that there's no JSON bib, and then just
No,
I
I
agreed.
think you
It's
can warn
expected.
it. You can warn it, Kurt, but if you could just remove the groovy.json exception from the warn message,
Oh,
that
okay.
will
That
just.
that's what's causing it to throw in the
Yeah,
in
because
the
we don't trust the log level, so we are looking for every line that it has something that looks like a exception
Okay.
class
All
name,
right.
you know.
Okay. I'll just
But
tweak that then.
in the interest of trusting the log level, I think we should in fact change it from a warning to info because it's expected. Like this isn't unusual. This isn't something we want to get anyone's attention. I don't think it qualifies as a warning. I think it's more of an info.
Yeah,
I
that's
think
fair
that's
too.
fine, right? I think it's fine to do both, but what's actually going to hide it from our stack
It's triggering on the
channels?
word exception right now. It's
Yeah,
just looking for the string
so I'll make
exception.
sure that it doesn't have the exception in there. I'll change it to info, and then we'll just call it done.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, if it's an expected exception, it's from what I'm hearing, it's kind of expected that this might not be JSON and logging the specifics of the
It's actually
failures
never.
typically.
It's always running. It's always throwing that exception. I don't think anything is actually putting JSON in there anymore because everything is using Reservoir now. We have nothing using Folio as the shared index.
Yeah, then log something nice saying that actually explains, right, the situation. Like, oh, we don't have JSON, but that so we're just gonna continue.
But we never do, so
Ignore.
whatever.
And it's
Yeah.
only—I mean, the only thing it's using it for is trying to find the OCLC ID. So, but, okay, yeah, I'll fix it up.
Maybe just remove that whole section of code. That's irrelevant.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So thanks. Kurt, do you have anything else? I see. Yeah, I'm just looking at your open tickets. So the only other thing is the settings controller, the session close. Just remind me, where are we with this one?
So I kind of put that off to the side, but it's basically trying to figure out why the we're still trying to apparently make some kind of access to the database after it's closed the session, even though it looks like it shouldn't be. And Gemini thinks it's because we have these weird settings in Hibernate that kind of allow you to escape outside of the sessions and the transactions. So I
And
was
one of them's really
trying,
bad for performance.
yeah. So what I was trying to do was disable the setting that lets you do like default lazy evaluation, and then try to make it a little more explicit in the actual call to see if I get the test to pass. Currently, they're not passing yet. I have like one more thing I want to try on that, but I kind of shelved it for now to try to get some of the other stuff done first.
Sure. Okay. You notice that, right? That when this exception is logged, there is no tenants. So it looks like
Yeah.
this is the this whatever is triggering that code is that's done outside of the tenant sort of context. Maybe it's a timer or something that does it.
I don't know. We have a lot of logs that say like no tenant, but at the same time you go in there and look and you can see it's happening within the context of a tenant. So it just seems like the tenant doesn't always properly get pushed to the logger. I don't know. It's weird.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, I have no idea. All right. Yeah. Take a look. If you manage to like fix the rejection is important, right? I mean,
Yeah.
and if you have some more time left to take a look at it, that's great. If not, then we're not gonna delay for that.
We
Okay.
definitely don't
Cool.
delay the release for that, but I think it might be worth creating an issue specifically around this setting. It turns out it's something I added. Just because Chaz added it as part of the Grails 5 migration. And I was just trying to get this working with Grails 5. And he said there was like a commit, like fix Grails 5 issues or something. And one of the things he did in there was add this setting. So I added this setting because KEnt are Grails experts. It turns out this setting is only for development use and is not recommended for production. And it adds a ton more layers to Hibernate. Like it's creating a new Hibernate context for everything or something like that. And so it's probably chewing up, if not more CPU, then maybe even more database transactions in prod. And we probably really shouldn't be running it. And we actually were running without it until pretty recently, because this Grails 5 migration only happened in like, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago?
It goes every
So most of
single.
the system, most of the system worked for most of the time without it. That it was just something about Grails 5 got like a little more strict. And then that caused some of the hacks in our previous systems not to work. And so this is the way that Kayant got around it, is just turning on this janky setting. And so it might make this mess perform a little better, and it might help us catch other problems if we could turn it off. But I don't know, like Kurt's already spent a bunch of time on it. I'm not sure how much more we want to invest in it because we just want to get rid of the whole thing. But that's, I think it at least serves an issue.
Yeah. I mean, every single
Yeah.
Kayant module is using the same setting, just interestingly enough. So I don't know.
What setting is that?
Oh, the ERM modules are using it too?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
but
what
no,
is the setting?
the setting, hang on, let me look at the it's in the application.yaml. It's
That's
I will
fine.
pa let me paste the setting line. I'll paste the setting line into the into the Slack
Into
chat.
Slack. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Here.
Like, I think that's fine. I mean, I really would like us to wrap up this release as soon as possible. And then after this release, unless we have some specific, bug reports from Trove that we need to take a look, I would really want us to start looking sort of beyond this, because we're end of September now, right? And it just keeps on dragging this project. I mean, it would be nice. So let's see how much time we have. There's a little bit of ZFL issues that are still pending, and we kind of need to take a look at it.
Is that what I should work on now?
Yeah, I think so. So that's like we kind of need to wrap that up, and then maybe talk a little bit about making the so assuming this release candidate goes out tomorrow, and we have good feedback from that, then we need to talk a little bit about making that final release.
Well, then we need to start QAing it with the ZFL and PALSY workflows.
So we'll need to discuss a little bit how that's going to look like. Do we care? Do we need to do it? Like, I know that Mallory has this ticket about the broker mode to other customers, so we'll need to chat a little bit about this. But other than that, I would really like us to just kind of move beyond this motherless work and two things, Jason, right? So like the resurrecting directory work. So I would really want you and Kurt to start looking at that as soon as possible. And then you guys should kind of, start coding on the broker as well, I think.
Excellent.
With this patron request API rewrite. So yeah, so that would be really like, let's try to get this out, fix whatever we really badly need to fix. If there is like Mallory is gonna raise some of those fresh desk tickets from the customers, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something. But other than that, let's
And then
try
let's just
not to
get rid
spend
of
too
it. I
much
love
time.
it. Yeah,
Yeah, I do. There's not gonna be another opportunity, Jason, because like,
let's do it.
yeah.
So, a question for
Okay.
you. When we're doing that, do you think it might make sense to focus on the subset of functionality that ZFL needs? Because ZFL needs a lot less from Reshare than PALSY does. So that it'll probably be easier to get ZFL off of ModRS than to get everything off of ModRS. Like it's using less of the system.
ZFL is tricky because it's got very specific state model, and I don't know if it's easy to get it off. Plus, I think we want to wait until Seb has news from his meetings in Germany,
Well, we're
because
not
they
doing it right
will,
now, anyways. But so, yeah.
and they will want to replace the whole sort of. There might be a big project, and I think that's we would approach this new
That's
project
we'll
with
do it as part of that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
That might actually be cool though, because that might give us sort of a context and funding for doing the overall rewrite. Like the first version of the request handling can be done as part of that, maybe. Interesting.
that
Well,
could
it'll
be
be
the
cool to hear when he
case.
gets back. All right, well, I'm looking forward
Exactly.
to that. That's very promising. We get to get rid of this sooner than I thought. I like it.
But the directory is going to play a role, right? So we kind of needs to start working on that soon. And also, I don't know what the situation is with Trove, whether they will want that admin console or not. Okay, Mallory, let's talk about your ticket here. So you mentioned that there's this one thing that you created for me. So the situation that the so that's the local supply case for Alma, right? When Alma is the supplier and then the broker that that's the local supply mode.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're not alerted, and it just looks like it's with their TPRS broker cross-link partner. And so they don't know that it's actually just sitting with them instead of being sent to suppliers. And so I don't know if we can just like skip the whole idea of local supply when it's an Alma or Rapido library,
I
or
totally
if we have
get
to like.
that, to be honest. I'm a bit surprised actually. So let's see what happens here, because this local supply mode was only supposed to trigger in this transparent mode. Maybe there's a bug. So let's see. I don't know if we can see this somehow.
I forget who the requester was on this, but the. Oh, okay.
There is one local supplier. Yeah, so they're gonna stand, and it's always gonna be the first one, right? If it's local, then it always
Right.
goes on top. So this is the AU QT. That's the requester as well here. Yeah, must be. Yeah. So we can take a look. So what happens here? So it's a local supplier. Just don't get it. So do we just get a notification here?
This is QUT, the requester, wondering like who the request is with and why it hasn't been filled, and it's sitting with them. You know, like they've been identified as a supplier, but they don't know it.
It's kind of, I wouldn't say it, like it's the situation which is not handled. So like what's happening here is that it knows that it's local. It puts it on top, but it never sends a request to it. Like you see, there's no request ever sent to, like no supply request ever sent to it, because it know it's local. But also there's no message sent back to it to tell it, hey, you're the supplier. Because like for Resha, we send this message that says, well, you're actually the supplier, so you handle that yourself. I wonder what, yeah, so for Alma it's kind of weird because nothing happens, because like we don't send that message in this opaque mode. So it's just gonna get stuck.
Yeah, so can we just skip the local supplier if it's an Alma, if it's in opaque mode, can it just go to the first real supplier?
We could add the behavior. So you're saying that if it's in this opaque mode, it like they will never wanna do a local supply.
I mean, I think so. I think My concern is even if we somehow send them a message, I don't know if they have like the option to cannot supply their own request. Like I don't know if it would behave the same way. So I think it would be better if it just was sent to the first supplier that's not local.
Okay. Well, maybe check with them. I mean, we can do both, right? We can send them a notification that says, hey, you're actually the local
Okay.
supplier, so deal with it. But we can also do what you say, right? We can just skip them. So, like, if it's
Okay.
local and it, you're in the opaque mode, then we will just go ahead and skip to the next one.
Okay, I'll ask them to try to figure out which would be better, because I don't know what the workflow is like on their side if they can even support that. But okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll just leave you a note here.
Perfect.
Yeah, to the non-call supplier or with a modification should be investor. Okay, yeah, but we'll need to do it. Yeah, it's kind of like this edge case, you know, like yeah. It
Yeah.
just gets stuck there because Reshare knows, like, Reshare will get this expect to supply, and then Reshare will do like some special handling for that. It knows that it's local, and then it will, yeah, it will handle that. This will
You
never
can
know.
ass Okay. You can assign that to me until I figure out what the hell to do.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, but would. No worries. We'll just update this out of band. You know, like we'll have it fixed so we can do this post this release, and I think that should be fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
Nothing for me.
Okay, I think we are fine
I have one
then.
question, Jakob. The confirm
Adam.
supply messages, has that been tested in any near development environments, or what's the status of that?
I think it's looking good. So I haven't seen any problems with that
Okay.
so far.
Okay.
But also not a whole lot of testing has been done. I mean, Mallory
Okay.
has been testing a little bit yesterday. I did a couple of tests, but I was focusing on this cancellation, which is broken.
Okay.
But I did not see. We can just take a look at this one. Is this new? No, this is from prod. Let me, for example, take the one. What Kurt has shared. Sorry, that was one of them. Getting to this blog is problematic. Right, 15, that was this one. No. Yeah, I think that was fine.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it looked good. Yeah, I haven't seen any issues with that. Like
Okay.
the only issue we have right now is with this cancellation and then maybe skipping those local suppliers in this opaque mode. Okay. All right, guys. Anything else we should discuss?
I determined that 215 is deployed.
Cool. All right. So yeah, Mallory, just please do as much testing as you can, and we're just waiting for the fix from Kurtz, and then the constellation fix in the morning. I think we'll be fine then. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right, bye, everyone.